knock on wood here.
Listening audience there.
This is Steve Charney, and well, for the next half hour, we've got some comedy for you. Let me run down for you what we're going to be doing. Let me just run it down for you. We got John Hartford. He's doing a very funny song. Don't keep your records in the sun. We also have a strange fact segment. Harry's coming in to help me with that. In fact, he'll be in before that. We'll be doing something together. We'll be reading Jack Palutsky, too. Something big has been here. Woo! Let's start off with Alan Sherman, though. This is called Alan Sherman Live. Hoping you are the same.
There are a lot of Californians here, are there not? Are you familiar with where I live in near Los Angeles, Van Nuys? Well, do you happen to know how Van Nuys got its name? Oh, I should tell you, it's a great historical sidelight. In the early days of the pioneers, hundreds of years ago, when they first came in the covered wagons from the east to the west, they went all the way across and they got to the top of the Santa Monica Mountains. And they looked down and they saw the beautiful blue Pacific Ocean. And they saw this vast expanse of green valley in front of them. And then the assistant chief pioneer turned to the chief pioneer and he said, "Oh, chief pioneer, what do you think of this beautiful vast expanse of gorgeous green valley?" And the chief pioneer said, "Van Nuys." They asked me through the years why I shed these tears. I, of course, replied, "When you live in Van Nuys, smog gets in your eyes." I thought I'd play it wise, so I closed my eyes. But what do you suppose when both my eyes I close? Smog gets in my nose. I went to Price, an anti-smog device to put behind my car. But all too quick, the smog became so thick, I could not find my car. 10 million cars provide carbon monoxide. If they'd all drive a horse, there'd be no smog, of course, but there'd be something worse in your eyes.
Alan Sherman, of course. That was a takeoff on Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, if you didn't know that. That was an old hit. He turned into Smog Gets in Your Eyes, just the way Weird Al Yankovic does. But Alan Sherman did it many years before. Harry's joined me at this point. This is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney. Harry, can I ask you a question?
Sure, what is it?
What is that small tub of water you brought in a little while ago?
Well, oh, that over... Oh, I was hoping you'd do me a favor, Steve.
Yeah, what's the favor?
Would you stand on the table and dive into that small tub of water?
What?
You heard me.
Harry, I wouldn't stand on that table and dive in that water for $100.
You wouldn't, huh?
No.
Well, Steve, I happen to have $100 right here. It's yours if you do it.
Really?
Yeah, here's the money right here.
Come on, what's the trick?
Steve, I'm surprised at you. I wouldn't trick you. Listen, you want the money or not?
All right, I'll do it. Now, all I have to do is get up on the table like this.
That's good, Steve. Don't fall or anything.
And then I dive into the tub of water, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Can I take my clothes off so they don't get wet?
Sure, Steve. After all, this is radio. Who's gonna see?
Good point. All right. Let me just take off my shoes here. There we go. Get my pants and my shirt.
Better leave your underwear on, Steve.
Why? You said this is radio.
I know, but when you take off your clothes, the people listening see it happening in their minds. That's the fun part about radio.
Yeah, that's true.
And this is a family program. I don't think it would be a good idea if they had to imagine you completely naked.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. All right, the underwear stays on. I'm also wearing my undershirt, okay? So for those of you who just started imagining me without any shirt on at all, put it back on in your mind, okay? Boy, I hope none of the staff comes by and looks in the newsroom window. It's going to look pretty funny, a guy in his underwear jumping into a small tub of water from off this high table. All right, here goes. Ready, Harry?
I'm ready. Go ahead. Do it.
All right, don't rush me.
Come on, we don't have all day.
All right, here goes. One, two, three.
Very good, Steve, very good. See, that's great.
Harry, I'm soaking wet. Oh, come on. Help me out of here.
All right, Steve, just grab my arm there. Come on. Upsy-daisy, Steve.
Oh, I'm soaking. Oh.
Come on, one pull. There we go.
Oh. Oh. Oh, Harry. Oh, I feel like an idiot.
But a rich idiot, Steve.
I still say there's a trick somewhere. I'm soaking wet.
No trick, Steve.
Harry, this is knock on wood. Of course there's a trick.
Now, would you do me another favor?
Just hand me that towel over there. I'm soaking.
All right, Steve, here it is.
Thank you. All right, let me just dry off here.
Now, wait a sec. Where's my $100?
All right here, Steve. I told you I would do it.
Hey, look at that. $100. Just put it down on the table while I continue drying off, okay?
Okay, now, would you do me this other favor?
What is it?
Look, Steve, here's a crash helmet. See this thing?
I was wondering why you brought that in.
I want you to put on this crash helmet and jump through the newsroom window.
You want me to jump through the window?
Yeah, into the next room.
Harry, why in the world would I ever want to do that?
Because I'll give you another $100.
Really?
Yeah, here it is, Steve, right here.
All right, hold this towel. Just put on the crash helmet like this, huh?
Yeah, Steve, just put it on there.
There we go. All right, Harry, it's on.
Good, Steve, good.
All right, and you want me to take a running leap through the newsroom window?
That's right.
Boy, it sure is lucky this is radio, and this is just a question of sound effects and illusions, or I could get hurt.
Don't give our trade secrets away, Steve. You're going to do it or not?
Of course I am.
You want to cue our listeners to what they're supposed to be seeing in their minds?
They already know. A guy in a crash helmet about to jump through a window that leads into another production room.
In his underwear.
Right.
His wet underwear.
All right, I didn't put my clothes back on yet. Do you mind? All right, here goes, Harry.
Okay, Steve, go ahead.
All right. I guess I'll just take a running jump, huh?
Yeah, just take a running jump.
All right, here goes. Banzai!
Good work, Steve! Now get in here and pick up your $100! There he goes, he's running around the hole. He's coming in. Oh, here he comes.
All right, Harry, good. That was the easiest $200 I ever made. Let me just get the helmet off here. There we go. Oh, I still say there's a trick somewhere.
What possible trick could it be, Steve?
You sure this money is real?
Listen, here it is, and I know that money is real. I made it this morning. You can even smell the mint on it.
Harry.
I'm just kidding. Of course the money is real.
Yeah, I guess it is. It looks real.
Now, do me another favor.
Uh-oh.
Kiss a pig for me.
A pig? Where are we going to find a pig?
Well, there are some outside in the hallway, Steve. I brought them in just for this.
Amazing. There's no way I'm going to embarrass myself by kissing a pig. That's just disgusting.
$100, Steve.
Another $100?
That's right.
All right, bring them on.
Actually, Steve, there are two of them. You can have your choice which one you want to kiss. Let me just open the door. I'll bring them in here.
Funny, I didn't notice any pigs when I was out in the hall just a second ago.
Yeah, I know, Steve. They were hiding. Zoe! Come here! Come here, little piggies! Here they come! There we go! Come on! There he is! Come on! Come on in, both of you! Oh, aren't they cute, Steve?
Kind of gross, actually.
Go ahead, Steve. Just pick a nice one out and give it a big kiss.
All right. How about that one?
Sure, you smell you dirty enough.
All right, here goes. I'll just hold my nose here like this.
Good, Steve. Okay. Here's your third $100, and let me just get these pigs out of here. Come on, little piggies. Come on. There we go. Get on. Come on. All right. Close the door. There we go. Okay, Steve. All right. Okay, we're all done there.
So I just made $300, even if I did look like an idiot and embarrassed myself in front of a listening audience that covers a good section of America.
Yeah.
Gee, I'm glad my mother said she wasn't going to be able to listen. She went on a 2-week vacation today. I'd be so embarrassed if I knew my mother was listening to this.
Oh, yeah, your mother, yeah. But I ran into her this morning before she left.
Really? Was she okay?
Yeah, she was fine. In fact, for a belated birthday present, she gave me $300 to give to you.
Harry.
Bye-bye, Steve!
Harry, get over here, you...
All right, now this is a song about phonograph records. Records in the sun, they'll warp and they won't be good for anyone. Don't leave your records in the sun, they get all wavy and they just won't run. They just won't play, 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 just won't play no more. Well, I had this record that I really did like. It was the last one they had in the store. I left it laying on the car back seat, and now it just won't play no more. Records in the sun, they'll warp and they won't be good for anyone. Don't leave your records in the sun, they get all wavy and they just won't run. They just won't play, just won't play, just won't play, just won't play, just won't play. No more.
Now it's time for the new adventures of Radio Man and his sidekick Tweeter. Radio Man, the cake crusader who learned his secret power from the sound effects men of old-time radio, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the FCC. This week on the new adventures of Radio Man, we find Radio Man and his pal Tweeter listening to the radio. They're trying to find an episode of The New Adventures of Radio Man. Let's listen.
I don't know, Tweeter. I'm having trouble finding my adventure series on the radio.
Gee, Radio Man, if you turn the dial all the way to the left, there's a good chance you might be able to find an episode of Radio Man being aired right now.
You think so, Tweeter? Well, it's worth a try. Let me just turn the dial over to these numbers here and...
That sounds like it, Radio Man, and it's just beginning, too.
Excellent, Tweeter. Shh, don't say any more. Let's listen to what this episode's going to be about this week.
This week on The New Adventures of Radio Man, we find Radio Man and his pal Tweeter listening to the radio. They're trying to find an episode of The New Adventures of Radio Man. Let's listen.
I don't know, Tweeter. I'm having trouble finding my adventure series on the radio.
Gee, Radio Man, if you turn the dial all the way to the left, there's a good chance you might be able to find an episode of Radio Man being aired right now.
You think so, Tweeter? Well, it's worth a try. Let me just turn the dial over to these numbers here and...
That sounds like it, Radio Man, and it's just beginning, too.
Excellent, Tweeter. Shh, don't say any more. Let's listen to what this episode's going to be about this week.
This week on The New Adventures of Radio Man, we find Radio Man and his pal Tweeter listening to the radio. They're trying to find an episode of The New Adventures of Radio Man. Let's listen.
I don't know, Tweeter. I'm having trouble finding my adventure series on the radio.
Gee, Radio Man, if you turn the dial all the way to the left, there's a good chance you might be able to find an episode of Radio Man being aired right now.
You think so, Tweeter? Well, it's worth a try. Let me just turn the dial over to these numbers here and...
That sounds like it, Radio Man, and it's just beginning, too.
Excellent, Tweeter. Shh, don't say any more. Let's listen to what this episode's going to be about this week.
This week on The New Adventures of Radio Man, we find Radio Man and his pal Tweeter listening to the radio. They're trying to find an episode of The New Adventures of Radio Man. Let's listen.
Sale? Sale, listen, sweetheart. I have to ask you something. Yeah, yeah. Sale, please. I need your advice on my opinion. Yeah. Hold on one second. Hold on one second. Marilyn Chickie. Marilyn Chickie. Hold on. Both of you, get away from the garbage. $500 worth of toys in the house, and they're playing with garbage. Get away from the garbage. Hold on. Hold on, Sale. The little one's chewing on something. Come on. Oh, the Sale chews of the garbage. Open your mouth for mother. Open it wider. Wider. Eject that. Eject that. She knows what I'm saying, Sale. I always talk big words to my kids. I said it to... Spit it out before I smack you! Good fool, you won't eat cigarette butts you like. And don't say those words to mother. Come over here and apologize. Come over here and apologize to mother. Say, I apologize, mother. Say, I apologize... Where did you learn to say a word like that to your mother? She must have heard it from him last night. Yeah. Oh, don't talk. I had such a fight with him last night. Believe me, he's going to sing Strangers in the Night. No. He found my telephone bill. I did hide it. The kids showed it to him. Don't ask what I went through. No, I even went to the telephone company. I begged them. I said, please. I said, please, save my marriage. I said, please, here's the money. Make my bill look half. Do you know there's not a drop of emotion in that whole telephone company? No, so then we found it. He yelled and he yelled and I yelled. I said, listen, Mr. Tupperman, you don't like the high telephone bill? If that's the way you feel about it, don't call your mother so often. That's when he said that word she just said. Yeah. Let me off the phone, Sale. I'll call you back. Okay, no, the big one is chewing now. Bye-bye, Sale.
Betty Walker there. And this is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney. Before that, we heard Radio Man. I was just playing around, trying to do something different for the New Adventures of Radio Man series here. Well, boy, when I get my hands on Harry, he should be in soon, because we're supposed to be doing a Strange Facts segment soon. Boy, when I get my hands on that guy. If you tuned in late, I don't even want to tell you what he did before. It's terrible. He made me jump into water and kiss a pig and jump through a newsroom glass with a crash helmet on. He kept giving me money, and then it turned out that I was going to get it anyway. My mother gave it to me for a belated birthday present. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's read some Jack Paluski now. This is from his book, Something Big Has Been Here, it's called. It's kind of the sequel to The New Kid on the Block, which is an excellent book of poetry, and this is too. This one is called Belinda Blue. Belinda Blue is furious. She fumed.
I am really mad. This is the worst experience that I've ever had.
She beat her fist against the wall. She pounded on the floor.
I'm livid.
She exploded.
I'm bilious to the core.
She wrung her hand. She tore her hair. Her tantrum grew and grew.
I'm angry, angry, angry.
Shrieked enraged Belinda Blue. She seemed to be beside herself. She raced around the room. She roared so loud the neighbors thought they'd heard a sonic boom. Her rage was unabated. It appeared she'd never quit. In fact, she seemed to savor every second of her fit. Belinda Blue created such an overwhelming scene because at lunch her mother said, "Please eat just one green bean." The turkey shot out of the oven and rocketed into the air. It knocked every plate off the table and partly demolished a chair. It ricocheted into a corner and burst with a deafening boom, then splattered all over the kitchen, completely obscuring the room. It stuck to the walls and the windows. It totally covered the floor. There was turkey attached to the ceiling, where they'd never been turkey before.
It blanketed every appliance. It smeared every saucer and bowl. There wasn't a way I could stop it. The turkey was out of control. I scraped and I scrubbed with displeasure, and thought with chagrin as I mopped that I'd never again stuff a turkey with popcorn that hadn't been popped.
Let's try this one. Dense and dumb, with pomp and flair, planted light bulbs in his hair. Now, however dark the night, dense and dumb is always bright.
You're eating like a pig again, my mother scolded me. If you keep eating like a pig is what you'll be.
I simply cannot fathom what the fuss is all about. And haven't I a lovely tail? And see my splendid snout. I'm tired of being little. I'm sick of being thin. I wish that I were giant size, with whiskers on my chin.
No one would dare to tease me or to take away my toys, for I would be much bigger
than the biggest bigger boys.
My folks would pay attention to everything I said.
They couldn't make me eat my peas or tell me,
go to bed.
I'd never be afraid again if I were
10'3".
I wish that I were giant size instead of small like me.
You're nasty and you're loud. You're mean enough for two. If I could be a cloud, I'd rain all day on you.
Okay, a couple of poems there by Jack Polutsky. That's put out on Green Willow Books. Great stuff. I love Jack. He's great. Good stuff. Let's listen to Sharon Lois and Bram. This is Mango Walk. Sharon Lois and Bram. This is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney. Harry's joined me again, Harry.
Oh, Steve, come on. You forgive me. I was just having a little fun. It was just radio, after all. Those things weren't really happening.
Well, only because they weren't really happening and they were all sound effects, so I forgive you.
Thank you.
Okay.
And now we're ready for a strange fact segment, huh, Steve?
That's right. We are ready for a strange fact segment. We don't have too much time, but I guess we can do a little bit.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Okay, strange and amazing facts. You're on Knock on Wood. Okay. Charlie Parkhurst was a hard-drinking tobacco chewer who drove a stagecoach in California during the gold rush in the 19th century. He became a legend for bringing the stagecoach in on time. When Charlie was once held up, he shot two of the thieves dead and once ran the stagecoach across a collapsing bridge just to get it in on schedule. Despite Charlie's bravery, he was very shy and fastidious. He always slept away from the other drivers and was always clean-shaven. When Charlie died in 1879, the neighbors finally discovered the secret. Charlie was a woman. Her real name was Charlotte Parkhurst, and her clothes got her by the election board. In 1868, she was the first woman to vote in a presidential election. There we have it, Charlie Parkhurst. That's a true, amazing fact.
I thought we were only doing strange facts.
Same thing, come on.
Okay.
No point nitpicking.
No, you're right. Okay, we all know about the big cattle drives out west.
That's true.
But few of us know that turkey drives were not that uncommon. They're fast rudders and can travel faster than a pony. The problem is that they often would stop to roost, and it would be difficult to get them to market at that point.
I guess it would be. But that's really true. They used to be turkey drives.
Yep, turkey drives.
Better than turtle drives.
Yeah.
Okay, the king of Hawaii, King Kamehameha, wanted a garment that would express the grandeur of his rule. So in the early 19th century, he ordered a cloak to be made that could not be duplicated by any other mortal. It was made solely from the feathers of the rare mamo bird. And since each bird only had 6 or 7 feathers, some 80,000 had to die. Boy, some people are nuts. To provide the 450,000 feathers needed to complete the cloak. Ironically, the king died before the garment was completed. It was later valued at over $1 million.
A mosquito's wings move at a rate of 1,000 times a second.
That sends our strange facts segment for today. Short and sweet, as they say.
Well, that's true, because we didn't have that much time.
No. But we do have time to say goodbye, so, Harry, why don't you do the honors?
Okay, Steve. Bye-bye, everybody. Hope everyone has a wonderful time and, well, you know, stay in a good mood.
Knock on Wood is produced at the Knock on Wood Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show's written and produced by me, Steve Charney. SteveCharney.com has lots of videos of Harry and myself, as well as jokes, an email address, a sales page, info about our live stage shows, and lots more. And if you visit WGXC.org, click on Archives, and type in Knock on Wood, you can listen to previous Knock on Wood programs, and there are a lot of them.